Welcome to a message from Oasis Church. For more information about Oasis Church and how you can get connected, please visit myoasischurch.com. Here's Pastor Mark Pearl. Enjoy the message.
This morning, I want to invite you to find 2 Corinthians, the 4th chapter. 2 Corinthians, chapter 4. 2 Corinthians, the 4th chapter. Got it? All right, we're going to read, a couple verses. Let's back up here. I tell you what, let's start at verse 16, and we'll begin there. It says, "For which cause we faint not, we don't lose heart, though our outward man perish," he's decaying, he's getting older, "yet the inward man's renewed day by day." Isn't it good to know that even though your outward man's getting older, your inner man's not, you know. And so, it's like I was talking to Phyllis this morning. I said, nobody beats Father Time, do they? Except we go by the rapture, you know what I mean? Because, look, maybe I better leave that alone. But anyway, we have to understand that we got something bigger. Amen. We got something bigger going on for us. Praise the Lord. "For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding eternal glory." How many know we have light afflictions in this world? And I mean, Apostle Paul talked about light afflictions. If anybody had some heavy duty ones, I thought it was him. But he called them light afflictions. One translation, paraphrase, it's not very translated, says these small potatoes. Hey, anybody ever had any small potatoes lately? All right. "For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory." But notice, it's not automatic. It's while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, or we would say temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. So I want to talk to you this morning about keeping your focus on Jesus. Amen. A lot of things try to get your focus in life. Have you noticed that? Yeah. Everybody's grabbing for your attention, Yeah. Some things are legit, some things aren't. Sometimes you can't walk through Walmart with somebody trying to grab you and sell you something, Fortunately, when you're like me, you can really say, you can really tell them these things that I told them. And it'd be truth, The lady stopped me. "How much you pay for in?" I said, "I don't know." "You don't know how much you pay for in?" I said, "No, I have no idea." "Well, have a good day." Because you can't beat I don't know price. So it's just good to be ignorant about some things. Praise the Lord. Yeah. So I don't know. I don't know what we pay for internet. I know if it gets too much, I'll know about it. It's like, why'd the lights go out? Well, we're paying for internet. No, we're done with internet, all right? That's not going to happen. But I'm just simply saying, everybody's grabbing for your attention. Things that people want you to buy their product, theirs is the best and so forth. It's just amazing. And people write books about things. They want you to buy their books, and all this. I get amused. I just get amused. Maybe it's changed a little bit now, but boy, a few years back, there's a lot of weight loss books, how to lose, you remember the song 50 Ways to Lose Your Lover? How many are old enough to remember Paul Simon, all right? I came up with 50 ways to lose your flubber. But you know what? Here's what I found out. You can go through 49, and when you get to the 50th one, that is the real one that says you can't eat as much as you want to eat. Has anybody found that to be the truth? But yet we go through all kinds of hoops, jump through all kinds of things, and it all comes down to this. You can't eat like you want to eat. Help me preach, somebody. You know what I mean, So I think it might have been this week's bulletin, I don't remember, but I talked about moderation. You have to have moderation about all things. How many know that? You got to have moderation. The only thing you can abuse is faith. That's the only substance that you can abused. My friend, Pastor Carter, told me one time, he said, Pastor Paul, yeah. He goes, I'm a substance abuser. I'm glad I found this out. We've been on it for a long time. He goes, and the substance I abuse is faith. Faith is a substance. Yeah. I was, well, you can go ahead and do that, Pastor. Use that all you want to. Yeah. But you understand that the focus is everything, yeah. Right? Yeah. Focus is everything. Now, you know, when you think about what you let get closest to you gets biggest in your life. You ever notice, you put your hand up here, and my hand is bigger than that sound booth. It just wipes the sound booth out. But in reality, is my hand bigger than the sound booth? No, the sound booth is several feet wide and needs to be several feet deeper, probably. But you know what I'm saying? It's big. But yet, it's the focus of it. I've got it before my face. Jesus said, I keep the Lord always before my face. Amen. So we have to make sure our focus is right. I remember when, and some of you may, I'm sure these are old enough now. These come out of the 70s or 80s, whatever it was. But y'all have seen these, right? How many have never seen one of these? Everybody's seen these, okay? Y'all see Jesus? You know why you see Jesus? Because you're trained to see it. Do you remember the first time you saw one of these? The first time, from what I remember, the first time when I saw one, I was getting ready to preach at this church over in Illinois, and they had one of these on the pulpit. And I'm looking at that. And of course, all I'm looking at is this art decor here, if that's what you want to call it. And I'm thinking, what in the world is that? What in the world? I mean, it just ruined a good sermon. I'm thinking, what is that? I'm puzzled, man. And then I asked somebody one time about one because I saw, I don't know if I did it at that service or what, some other place. I saw it again, and they said, well, that's the name Jesus. You got to look in between there, you know, J-E-S-U-S. You got to look at the dark part. And I thought, and you know what I still saw? Sticks. I just saw sticks. I thought, I don't see Jesus, all right? I don't see Jesus. But as I kept looking at it, I began to see Jesus. Now, if I haven't seen one of these in a while, I still have trouble finding Jesus. I'm still like, where's Jesus at? How many know He's in there? You just got to focus on it. Amen. See, that's what happens in life. We get our focus on the sticks instead of what's in between the sticks. And we don't focus on Jesus. We lose our vision, see? And they'll realize He's still King of Kings. He's still Lord of Lords. Hey, right? Right? He still said to John, He said, I'm the Alpha and the Omega. I'm the beginning and the end. In other words, I'm in charge. Right? And when we have faith, then, you know, I believe this. You know, some people may think I don't believe in the sovereignty of God. Nothing could be further from the truth. But what I try to tell people is God in His sovereignty has already set things up the way He wanted them. Right? He doesn't just sovereignly make anybody get saved. Now, there are some churches that teach that only those that are ordained to salvation get saved because they pull one verse out and misuse it. And they only got one verse. When there's all kinds of verses that tell us that we need to choose life. Right? It's up to us. Now, God in His sovereignty has made it available. God in His sovereignty has given us some things. But He doesn't make us receive them. If God had, you know, the Bible tells us, if you want to know what God's will is, read 2 Timothy or 1 Timothy chapter 2. He wills that all men be saved. All of them. He wants all of Evansville saved this morning and come into the knowledge of the truth. But Evansville's got to want to be saved. I mean, nobody just walks down the street. You never see anybody. Is the 700 Club still on? Remember they used to have, I haven't seen it in years, but they used to have their testimony time and stuff, people on their testimony. You never see anybody come on the 700 Club and say, look, I was walking down the street and God saved. I don't want to be saved. I'm mad at God, but God saved me. What am I going to do? I'm a Christian now. I hate it, but I am. How many of you just think, you got a nut on the 700 Club, all right? Because that doesn't happen, right? And it's the same thing is true with all the promises of God. They don't just fall on you. you know, you got to believe for it. I was listening to a guy teach the other day. I thought, well, you're missing something here. He said, well, to prove that God is sovereign is that, you know, sometimes, well, I'm trying to think what verse he was using, but he was using a verse in the Bible now. And he's talking about this person got healed and all those around him didn't get healed. Well, think about the man at the Pool of Bethesda. In that, remember the Pool of Bethesda, John chapter 5, I think it is? And Jesus walks in there, and there's this pool at Bethesda, and around it are all kinds of sick people, some that are lame. And Jesus walks up into that, he walks to that pool. The Bible says at a certain season, an angel would come down and trouble the water, and the first one got in got healed. And so they said, see, that proves it's not God's will to heal them all, or they would have all got healed. That's what he was teaching on. Well, see, here's the thing about that you're missing. There's something called the gifts of the Spirit. And they're as the Spirit wills. But most of the people Jesus healed, he didn't say, now God sovereignly healed you. He said, your faith. Something was available, and your faith got hold of it. How many know salvation is available? Anybody on the planet can get born again today. God doesn't have to specially move. But yeah, he does have special moves at times, and that's just his business, right? I've seen him heal people that didn't have much faith. Matter of fact, I'm thinking about a lady one time in one of my meetings that the power of God was moving, the healing anointing. See, there's a difference in praying for people to receive healing and believing by faith, and there's a difference when that healing anointing is actually present. That's an added oomph. And so the healing anointing was really strong that night, and I was ministering in this church, So people are getting healed. People are getting delivered, getting blessed. The pastor's helping pray for people that night. He's just helping me. And I lay hands on this one older lady, at least at that time. She seemed to be older. I'm sure she was maybe, she could have been in her 70s, but that's not old. I said, that's not old. See, none of the young people are saying, that's right, Pastor. That's right. All the old people go, yeah, that's right. Usually in her 50s, goes, yeah, I know. I can see it from here. All right, but anyway, I pray for her, and she gets slain in the Spirit. The pastor looks at me and goes, God is moving. He said, that woman has never been slain in the Spirit. I thought, well, we know when God's moving. When she falls on the floor, God's moving. Get up here. God's moving. And so this pastor goes out there. Now, listen to this. Now, you would think if you had something wrong with you, you would be up there. That's what I would think. When I see this power in manifestation. But this pastor goes out there and he starts bringing people from his congregation to get prayer. And he pulls up, and I don't know, Randy may remember this lady. He pulls up this one lady. He goes back and gets her and brings her up. And she is scheduled to have her feet amputated. Do you remember that lady? I can't remember her name, but I remember her. Well, anyway, she's scheduled to have her feet amputated, and like within a few days, and God healed her. She went back to the doctor, and the doctor said, I don't have to take them off. Nothing wrong with them. She got more excited than you did. I always say the devil did not defeat her. Now, Phyllis can verify this. I was preaching at another church some years ago. I don't know why. I just started telling that story. It just came up in my preaching. I told that story. Her and I are leaving the church. The service is over. We're walking out the back door. This lady stops and says, you remember me? And I don't know what I told her. Do you remember? Because I didn't. I said, well, you know, maybe, might have said, you look familiar or something. She said, the story you told about the lady that kept her feet, I'm her. She said, that was 17 years ago. I looked down. She still had her feet. Praise the Lord. And there was another lady in that service. She had, and I'd never seen this before, but she had like a black box on her back, and it had a wire running in her back to shock her back because she had such back pain that I guess the shock, you know, kept the pain down. I never heard of it before. I have since. But anyway, she got prayed for, was slain in the Spirit. This was her testimony. She came back. And she said, I went home. She said, I had no pain on the way home. Got home, had no pain. She said, but I didn't think anything about it because that box helps keep the pain down. She said, but I looked back there and it was unplugged. she was totally healed and moved to Florida. Healed people don't need to go to Florida. Indiana wants you. Amen. Help me understand, that is a sovereign move of God. That is the gifts of the Spirit. That is the healing anointing. I don't control that. You don't control that. The Bible says these gifts are as the Spirit wills. When He desires, He can do that. He doesn't have to ask us. He can just do it. But faith is something that's there all the time, because God has made provision for us through the cross of Calvary. And we can get saved, we can get delivered, we can receive whatever He's promised us anytime by our faith. We don't have to have a special move or sovereign move of God. And God is not playing favorites, because He's made it available to whosoever will. But if He should decide to just do something sovereignly for somebody like those two ladies, and I've seen that more than once, then that's His business. He doesn't have to ask me. He can just do it. And, you know, He knows what He's doing. Yeah. Amen. You know, sometimes healings or deliverances release a chain of events in people's lives and people's families. Yeah. Amen. We've had people get healed, and maybe their relatives started coming to church because they saw what happened. Well, God knows what He's doing. Amen. But I'm not waiting on those things. I've got faith. I thank God when they happen. And I've had, you know, gifts of the Spirit manifest many times over the years. I'm thankful for them. But I don't control that. I know there's people that think they do, but you got to watch that. The devil get a hold of you, try to control something like that. You better just let the Holy Ghost. You know, a pastor asked me one time, what about these people? They say, you know, if they're going to give one word to somebody in the service, prophetic word, they're going to give one to everybody. I said, I'd stay away from that if I was you. Because they're going to start giving stuff that's of the devil, because it's as the Spirit wills. Now, He might everybody, but most time that's not going to be the case. Maybe a few that He needs encouraged. First of all, you need to know this. When you get a prophetic word from God, it's probably to rescue you. I walked out of a service one time. I was excited about the prophetic word. It was like 1987. A minister gave me a prophetic word and said, this is going to be the year of victory. I can't remember it and all. But anyway, he said, you're going to overcome. You're going to have victory. Practical application of the word. That's what he said. You're going to have victory this year. You're going to win battles this year. And I'm just excited and thinking about it. And I get out in my car and I think, wait just a minute here. He said battle. I don't like this prophecy any longer. I want the one that says, you're not going to have any trouble. But you know what? It's good to be forewarned. And I did have some things I had to go through that year. But I already had word from God that everything's going to be all right. So it was just Him forewarning me. Amen? Amen. Amen. All right, did you ever find the rest of the scripture? Did we read the whole thing? Or did we just read verse 16? Well, let's go back here. Let's go back to verse 18. It says, while we look not at the things which are seen. Now, the word look here, listen to this, it doesn't mean just a casual glance, all right? It means to take aim, to take aim. You ever shot a gun? You take aim, right? How many ever shot with a scope? You know, you get that, what are you doing? How many, you're not seeing everything out here. The first thing I ever shot in my life, I was a little guy, little kid, and Dad had a 16-gauge pump shotgun. Okay, so he lets me shoot it. Now, I'm in the single digits. I don't know how old I was, but I haven't hit the double digits yet. I'm in singles. So Dad gives me the shotgun. The first thing I shot and killed was my teddy bear. Actually, I think I missed it, but anyway. I might have got it because it's buckshot, you know what I'm saying? So I might have got a little bit of it. But I set it out up there on the trash can or something and took a shot at it. And praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And you know what? When you're a little guy, those 16-gauge pump shotguns, they kick you. They'll kick you, you know. Yeah. You know you shot something. But yeah, have you ever shot with a scope? You know, you got the aim. You're just focused on something, right? See, this is what Paul said. He said, while we don't focus in life on those natural things. What did he call them? Temporal. While we look not at the things which are seen. For the things which are seen are what? They're temporary. All this is temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Yeah. Well, how do we look at eternal things? Well, faith gives us vision into the eternal things. It's the evidence of things not seen. So we have to see. You have to have your focus on. See, too many times we get our focus on everything going on instead of what really matters. What really matters, right? You get your focus just on external things that are there to distract you. Amen. Remember the story of Martha and Mary? I mean, remember that story? Jesus comes over to their house and Mary is sitting at Jesus' feet hearing the word. And what is Martha doing? What's she doing? Now, my part, I love Martha. I like somebody that can cook. But Jesus was not impressed, right? Martha comes in there and says to Jesus, bid my sister come and help me. I'm in here. She's in there. Jesus is in there teaching, and she's in there banging around pots and pans. And he says, man, you can smell, you know, she's searing the steaks, you know, and all. How many are glad there are some Marthas still left in life? Praise the Lord. All right. But you understand, there's a time for everything, right? And when Jesus is in your house teaching the word, it's not the time to think about tacos. So we've got to have our focus right. And so she thinks Jesus is just going to be all on board with this. She comes in there huffy, you know, and says, hey, tell my sister to come and help me. And Jesus said, Martha, Martha, you are troubled about many things. Beans isn't the only thing that troubles you. I know you. You're troubled about many things. See, right now in life, in our day, right now, we have many things to trouble us. Many things. It isn't like it used to be. I'm not saying it's worse. I'm just saying it's more dangerous. You know what I mean? I mean, in my day, like television, just like television, okay? In my day in television, you had three at best, four stations. Where I was at, we got a couple, three stations from Evansville. We got one from Terre Haute, okay? So that was it. So you didn't have all these things. If you wanted to watch Gunsmoke, I like Gunsmoke. How many are with me? You had to watch Gunsmoke. You had to wait till every Monday or something, whenever it came on. That's it. Monday night. Yeah, I happen to know because I was the remote control. Right? Yeah. Antenna turner, channel turner. Our dad, he took such good care of us that he would have us get up on the roof to move the antenna. No, I'm telling the truth, right? I mean, these kids are, I mean, the family needs me. I'm the breadwinner. We can do without a kid or two. And so he would have us, if he wants to watch something, you know, you have to move the antenna. He would send either me or Randy out. My sister would stand at the door and we would move it. And he would say, okay, that's good. She'd go, okay, that's good. And we'd come down off the roof, you know. That's the truth. I'm not making this up. That's the truth. We had a tower antenna, you know, thing that went up by the house. And so, but You know, today, you can watch Gunsmoke all day long. See, I have a DVR, and so I can go on my DVR and set it to record. Like, if I want to watch Gunsmoke, I can go on my DVR. Just one time I have to do this, set it to record it anytime it's on any station it's on. Sometimes in my queue, I've got 40 Matt Dillons cooking at the same time. You're right. It's not good if you don't know how to control it. See, what am I saying? See, we live in a time of many things. You know, the social media thing. Think about that. Right? You can know what people had for dinner. Now, I've got a friend in the ministry, Brother Ray. He says, I don't take pictures of my food. I eat it. But some people, they just share everything, right? And they say, I don't think people realize that anybody can see that stuff. And there's just so much distraction and stuff that we got to work to keep our focus. Right? So what are we supposed to focus on? Well, not the natural things, but the supernatural things. What would that be? When we talk about the eternal things, well, how do you know that's God? That's His kingdom. That's His promises, right? See, we're not supposed to be looking, you know, just at the natural. We're supposed to look at the supernatural. How many know Abraham didn't just consider the natural, he considered the supernatural. Amen. You and I are actually supposed to be looking at things on this earth through our heavenly place in Christ. We've been raised up and seated together in heavenly places in Christ. Now, that does not mean that we ignore what's going on in the natural. It's just that we're at a higher position to view it quite differently. And I've told you this before. I remember, you know, back in the late 70s and all, there was a guy who was going around. He was supposed to be intelligent. And he was claiming that we're running out of space for people to live on the planet. And he was pushing this population control thing. That's communism is all it is. It's communist to control your life. And so he's pushing this. And, of course, you know, the news media, they put him forward, you know, like he's this big deal. You know what I'm thinking? And then, you know, and he said that. And then one day I flew in an airplane. And I flew across the country. Actually, when I say across, I went from Indiana to Florida. And I'm flying, and you see all this land. And I'm like, well, who lives on that? Who lives on it? There's actually more land here not being used than is being used. This guy's a liar. Or totally deceived or something. See, anything the world tells you, be suspicious of it. Go to your Bible and find out, has God said anything about this? Right? What's God say about it? Because what He says about it is right. God didn't make the planet, right? Create it, and then one day wake up and say, oh my gosh, I didn't make it big enough. Boy, that was an oversight. Gabriel, why'd you let me do that? No way. See, even today, now I may offend some of you on this, but if you believe climate change is going to destroy this earth, you are totally deceived by the news media and false science. What they don't tell you is there's thousands upon thousands upon thousands upon thousands of scientists that don't believe that. That's right. That's right. But they will not at all in any way give them a platform to speak about it.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. You know, I have this thing, since we're just preaching everything today. I have this thing. I saved this. This guy sent this to me. If I can find it, I'll share it with you. I thought it was good. And I have a lot of pictures. You want to see my grandkids? Let me find this because here it is. Here's and this is the truth. This is not made up. In the 1960s, they told us oil would be gone in 10 years. 1960s. Don't hum me. You were alive.
No TV.
Yeah, you were sitting out at the creek bank fishing, chewing tobacco or something. I know you. The 1970s. Now, some of you remember this. I remember this. We would have another ice age in 10 years. This is what the media was telling us. This was what. Now, listen now. I'm not against true science. I'm against science that has an agenda. Okay. But science were telling us it. And the media, of course, they went off on it too. In 1970s, another ice age in 10 years. In the 1980s, boy, I remember this one too. They told us acid rain would destroy all our crops in 10 years. Remember that? Sure. 1990s, the ozone layer will be gone in 10 years. 2000, ice caps will be destroyed in 10 years. AOC, Miami will be underwater in 12 years. This isn't on here, I made that up. But she did say that. None of it happened, but it all resulted in more taxes. Wake up, people. I'm awake. Now, you know, there were things happening in the 1970s, really, that we thought, man, that must be right, because we had some terrible winters. Terrible. Cold. One winter, one snow, we got, it's not like a great, huge amount of snow, but we got 20 inches of snow, but the wind was blowing 50 miles an hour, and the wind chill was 50 below zero. Look it up. Google it. This is what happened. This was either 78 or 79. I think it might have been 78. Could have been 77. 78. Man, it's like, yeah, these guys are right. Ice age is coming. We're all going to, guess what? It all changed. Because weather patterns, they change. The earth, does the earth get warmer? I'm sure it does. But it doesn't mean because you're driving around in your little putt-putt, you're causing it. Drive your SUV and smile. Now, I believe we should be as clean as we can about things. Don't misunderstand me. But let me tell you what's more important, amen, you know, than that little snail is a human being. We should worship God, not the creation. Right? And I'm not my dog's human. I'm his owner, if I have one. Let's get this straight. All right. Good preaching. Good. Not politically correct, but it happens to be the truth, and let's stick with the truth. Amen. All right. You got enough time to go to one more scripture? Sure. Well, I tell you what. Let's go to Colossians chapter 3. Go there. As you're going there, let me give you this. Remember Peter walking on the water? I remember that. That was pretty impressive, right? How many of y'all have ever done that? All right, so he's done something most of us have never done. And I'm sure when he got in the boat, all the other disciples could tell him, hey, well, here's where you missed it. But I have a friend in the ministry. He said, I'd rather be a wet water walker than a dry boat setter. You can write that down if you want to. What does that mean? Well, at least Peter got out, right? I don't know if you ever thought, but it took a lot of faith just to step over the edge of that boat with all that going on. That took some faith. But what happened? Peter said, if it's you, Lord, bid me come. And Jesus said, come. He's got his focus on Jesus, doesn't he? But what happens? Once he gets out there, he starts looking around. His mind starts kicking in. And he gets his focus off the eternal, gets his focus on the temporary. And he says, there's no way you can walk on the water when it's this bad out. Anybody see behind that now? There's no way you can walk on the water when it's smooth as glass. It's going to take the power of God, right? So it doesn't matter whether it's totally calm out or whether there's these humongous waves. God's going to have to do it, right? It's like one minister said he was believing God for $100,000 for his ministry because he needed it. And he began to do the Pentecostal whine. You know, God responds to Pentecostal whines. Oh, God. Yeah. You ever been around Pentecost? You don't know what I'm talking about, but you know, oh, God. And the more, oh, you get in there. Boy, the more anointed that is now. Oh, God. And he was doing that, crying out for $100,000. Now, this is what he said. He said the Lord spoke to his heart. And he said, how much of it can you come up with? He went, none of it. He said, the Lord spoke to his heart and said, well, why don't you shut up about it if I'm going to have to do it all? Let me know, if we're going to experience the supernatural power of God, he's going to have to do it all. So we might as well just forget about the circumstances. They don't matter anyway. You can't walk. If you think, well, maybe if it's calm, I can walk on the water, go fill your bathtub and try it this afternoon. Call me and tell me if it worked. If it didn't work, don't call me. I don't want to know. I'm going to watch basketball. You understand what I'm talking about? How many got what I said? All right. So Peter's, he gets his shift, his focus off of Jesus onto the waves. And when his focus shifts, what comes in? Doubt comes in. Yeah. I like the story also in the Old Testament in Numbers 21 where Israel comes to Moses and says, we have sinned. I read that verse and every time I read that verse where they go, we have sinned, I always want to think, what's new about that? Yeah. You guys did this a lot. That's why you didn't get in the promised land. And fiery serpents had come among them and biting them when they were dying. And Moses went to God and God said, hey, put a bronze serpent on a pole and whoever looks at it will live. Now that word look means to gaze intently, to stare at. I mean, it's pretty hard to stare at something else when you got snakes around your feet. We live in a world with snakes around our feet. But we're to stare at the finished work at Calvary. See, that bronze serpent on a pole, the reason that represents Christ, because Jesus said it did. He says, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, he said in John chapter 3, he said, so must the Son of Man be lifted up. See, it was a picture of Jesus bearing the curse out the cross. He was bearing everything the devil had brought in. And when they looked at that, they were healed. Amen. You see, you got to understand this. Listen. You got to have your focus on Jesus. When when Moses went to Israel, you know, they're in bondage. In Exodus 6, he goes to Israel with the good news. God says, I'm going to deliver you. I'm going to be your God. And the Bible said they listened not because of their anguish of spirit and cruel bondage. They couldn't hear the good news because they were focused on the bad news. They should have rejoiced and shouted. I want to say this. You know, I've told this story before, but it's just so marked me as a young minister. The very first time I went in to pray for somebody who had just gotten out of open heart surgery. Now you have to understand, in those days, it's still a really, really big deal. But in those days, it was a life or death. They had no idea whether you're going to make it through. This was a last resort to keep you alive. It was not perfected. And I'm Mr. Faith. I'm faith guy. I've got a shirt that says Faith Man on it. So I walk in there and, you know, I'm going to pray for this person. And they had just brought them back from the recovery room. And when I saw them, and they were swollen about three times the size of a normal person. And they had tubes going out coming in every which direction. When I saw that, I'm just being truthful with you. It felt like there was a half dollar size hole in my back, in my spine. And all the faith just ran right out of it. Because I didn't expect that. I didn't expect them to look that bad. I just didn't. I didn't know what to expect. I'd never seen it before. I'm just a young man. I had to gather myself and not look at that, but look to Jesus. Wigglesworth said this. This is attributed to him. And once I heard he had said this, I thought, I understand that. He says, you can never pray the prayer of faith if you look at the person who is needing it. There's only one place to look, and that is to Jesus. Amen. Isn't that something? You got to keep your focus on.
That's
right. Scott, were you able to find the NLT? I want you to put up, I'm going to have you put up a scripture. Are you all okay? I'm going to let you go in just a minute here, but I want to look at this one last scripture. I wanted to put this up, the NLT. This is Moses. You know, Moses left a lot when he left Egypt. How many know that? He was like in line to be in command. I mean, he's not literally, but Pharaoh's, you know the story, Pharaoh's daughter raised him as a son. He's learned in all the ways of the Egyptians. He's an intelligent man. He's a rich man, right? He is in the upper crust of the upper crust. He's got everything. But how many know he left it all to follow God's call to get his people delivered from there, right? And it says it was by faith that Moses left the land of Egypt. See, what he trusted God would take care of him, right? Not fearing the king's anger, he kept, look, I love this, he kept right on going because he kept his eyes on the one who's invisible. How many know when you keep your eyes on the one who's invisible, you can just keep right on going? You can just keep going. You just keep going. Jesus said, in this world you'll have what? But take heart, be of good cheer. I have overcome it. He said, I've spoken these things to you. He first said, I've spoken these things to you that in me you might have peace. See, the Lord showed it to me this way. He said, if you make it about me, son, you'll have peace. If you make it about the world, you're going to have trouble. You're not going to have good cheer. I was watching one of the basketball games. I'm a big college. I like college basketball. I really love March Madness. You know what I'm saying? Don't schedule anything for me in March Madness. I'm not going anywhere to preach. No, I'm teasing. But I record all the games. I don't watch them all. I just fast forward to the end, see if they're close, and watch the end because there's too many. But there's a guy, and I've always liked this guy. Never knew much about him, but I always just kind of like him. His name's Dick Vitale. Anybody ever heard of him? Dick Vitale.
Yeah.
Dick Vitale, he's 86 years old now. You know, he's the one, you know, when they hit the shot, they go, boom, baby! Well, over the last several years, he's fought all kinds of cancer, even vocal cord cancer, which is his career, using his voice. He's a color commentator. And I was watching one of the games the other night, and they were talking with him. He was on there with Charles Barkley, and they were doing a game together, you know. It was kind of funny. And so I'm watching them, and Barkley gets talking to Dick Vitale about, you know, his things he's went through and how he's, you know, he helps people who are fighting cancer and how he gives money to that and all. And he said, what would you say to people out there fighting cancer? He said, I'll tell you what I tell them, Chuck. Keep a positive attitude and have faith. I thought, that's good preaching right there. Keep the faith. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Amen. You find Colossians? Let's go there, Colossians chapter 3. I'll close with this. Let me find it. I don't have it in my Bible yet. Colossians 3, verse 1. If you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sits at the right hand of God. Now, the King James, I like the King James here, the old King James, set your affection. Some places say mind, which is accurate too. But set your affection on things above, not on things of the earth. You got to ask yourself, where is my affection at? Where's my affection at? Where's my affection? You see, when what moves you? What excites you? What brings out affection in you? I mean, it needs to be the things of God, right? See, it's like with Martha and Mary. As you go on reading that story and you finish it, Jesus said to Martha, he said, you're careful, you're troubled about many things, but one thing. Everybody say one thing.
One thing.
Doesn't that help? Yes. One thing is needful. Right?
Yes, it is.
See, don't you just like to hear one thing will fix everything? There is one thing that really will fix everything, and that's Jesus. Isn't it amazing how today the hyperbole in the medical area, the health area, that we've got this one thing, this one supplement. If you'll take it, it'll cause you to lose 50 pounds. You'll get hair back on your head. You'll get muscles like you had when you were 16. You'll get strength and your brain will be like it was when 16. No, I don't want my brain back like it was when I was 16. Thank you. So, you know what I'm saying? Wouldn't it be wonderful if there was one thing? There's not, except Jesus.
Amen.
And he said, one thing is needful, and Mary has, now let's say this, chosen the good part, which won't be taken away from her. I mean, it's a choice. You got to choose the good part. You got to choose the eternal. That's what's going to bless your life. You know, well, I just my flesh, but my flesh. You can't let your flesh rule you. You got to let the word rule you. But one thing is needful. But anyway, where's your affection this morning? It's supposed to be on things above. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. Does it mean that we can't enjoy natural things? But that's not where our affection's at.
That's right.
Once again, I'll close with this, and I'll let you go. The higher you get, like I said, you got up in that airplane. When I got up in the airplane, I realized the guy that was telling us that we were running out of space was out of his mind. I realized that. This guy is A, lying, B, a nut, C, has never flown in a plane, or D, all of the above. I think with this guy, it was all of the above. And so, it's like, there's no way. There's plenty of land. Amen. And when you get seated in Christ, and you look down, all the problems in the world look small because of where you're at.
Amen.
Doesn't mean we treat them lightly. We don't, you know what I'm saying? But I mean, He's much bigger than them. See, you got to ask yourself as a believer, what is the worst thing that could possibly happen to you according to the natural? You would die. What would happen if you died? You don't know? Jill, do you know just as I am without one plea? We have an altar call here. How many know you would go to where? If you're born again, you won't have. All right? Now, I don't know. I've never been to Hawaii. People's gone. Like it. But what would you think if I said, all right, lay down, take a nap. When you wake up, you'll be in Hawaii. Does that sound bad?
No.
Not if you want to go to Hawaii. See, the devil can't win. Even if I was to die, which I'm not until it's my time. Well, when's your time? When I'm through. Right?
That's right.
I'm not done yet. If I was to die, I want to wake up in heaven, which is much better, according to Paul. You know, I have to remind myself. Sometimes I'll see, because I don't know about you, but I love life. I love living. I enjoy natural things, man. I'll be out. And I'll, like yesterday, a nice day like yesterday, I think, man, I love this. Isn't this wonderful?
Yeah.
But I have to remind her, heaven's even better than this. Because I'll think, I don't know if I want to leave here. I think, wait a minute. Now, yeah, I do.
Yeah.
As nice as place is, heaven's better.
Oh, right.
Amen?
Yeah.
There's no... We had one day a few weeks ago, it was 72.
Yeah.
It was either 72, 69, or 72. For the day's over, it was 27.
Yeah.
Pardon my English, heaven don't do that. Stand up, Jesus. It's much better, amen.
That concludes today's message. For more information about Oasis Church, please visit myoasischurch.com. Thanks for listening.